Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. In the very first few days of the Clinton administration, the president has made some grievous and fatal blunders, at least fatal for millions of unborn babies and for the consciences of millions of Americans. President Clinton vigorously and enthusiastically removed restrictions on the use of fetal tissue in medical research, overturned the so-called gag rule, which restricted abortion counseling in 4,000 federally financed family planning centers, supported the importation of RU486, the French abortion pill, and encouraged abortions in military hospitals overseas. How can a president who believes in human rights and who claims to be a Christian be guilty of such evil? Randall Terry of Operation Rescue says the president knows what is right, but he has been surrounded by wicked counselors. He has indeed been surrounded by wicked counselors. But does that excuse him for killing babies? He does not have to listen to the radical feminists, the homosexual lobby, the liberal theologians, and the American Civil Liberties Union. He is still guilty before God and before the judgment bar of biblically oriented people. His decision to kill babies is just as evil as the decisions of the Egyptian Pharaoh and of King Herod. But is not this preacher out of order when he criticizes government policies? After all, our nation mandates a separation of church and state. My friends, please understand that I am not comparing myself to Elijah the Tishbite, but I want to follow his example in speaking out against the evils in our nation. Whether those evils are committed by the president, the members of Congress, or the governor of our state, I cannot be silent and expect to have the approval of my God. So today, please study with me the topic, Elijah's confrontation with Ahab and Jezebel. The Bible tells us that Omri, the sixth king of Israel, slept with his fathers and was buried at Samaria, and Ahab reigned in his stead. 1 Kings 18:28. Ahab was a wicked, abominable creature. The inspired writer says concerning him, "He did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all the kings that were before him." 1 Kings 18:30. As you know from studying his predecessors, that was really some accomplishment. That is, for him to do more evil than other kings which were before him. After all, he was a successor to Jeroboam, who allowed idolatry and other kinds of evil to proliferate in Israel. In addition to the fact that he did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel which were before him, he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. Jezebel led her spineless husband to serve and to worship the Baals. 1 Kings 18, 31-33. Ahab was the kind of ruler who believed he knew better how to lead God's people than God himself did. In addition, he stole the property of Naboth and had him killed. 1 Kings 21:8-14. Oh, I am aware that the dirty work was done by Jezebel and her co-conspirators, but Ahab was just as guilty as they were. Ahab was weak and pouty like a child, but he was married to a regular women's liberationist. She had the cunning, the intestinal fortitude and determination to lead Ahab and the nation of Israel into idolatry. Jezebel serves as a prototype of the evil feminists can do when they set their minds to it. Our Lord Jesus Christ describes a woman in Thyatira who had learned her evil ways from Jezebel. "I know your works and love and service and faith and your patience and your works, and the last to be greater than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffer that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Revelation 2:18-23. As you can well imagine, there was great enmity between Jezebel and God's great prophet Elijah. Jezebel was constantly angry at Elijah because he strongly opposed her introduction of Baalism into Israel and because she was violent and brutal. She not only sought to have Elijah silenced by killing him, but also worked to get rid of all of God's faithful prophets. 1 Kings tells us that she cut off the prophets of the Lord. 1 Kings 18:4. Obadiah, who greatly revered the Lord, took 100 prophets and hid them in a cave and fed them bread and water. 1 Kings 18:4. After these events, the Bible records a meeting between Elijah and Israel's wicked king, Ahab. Ahab saw Elijah and said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" Elijah answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals." 1 Kings 18:17-18. Please think with me for a few minutes about this meeting between one of God's most courageous prophets and one of Israel's wickedest kings. If Ahab had been the right kind of king, he would have sought the counsel of Elijah and of other faithful prophets. Every leader, whether political, educational, or social, needs to rely on messages from God. Since we do not have men who speak directly from God today, we must turn to the great truths of God's Word to find the wisdom we must have in all walks of life. If only President Clinton would ask capable Bible scholars to teach him what the Bible says about killing babies, about endorsing perverted sexual behavior, and about living by his promises, our nation would have the prospects of a brighter future. But Bill Clinton, like King Ahab before him, apparently cares nothing for righteousness, honor, and justice. He is motivated by what he conceives to be popular with some of the worst elements of our society. He is bringing disaster on his head and on the lives of millions of unborn babies and of other innocent people. Ahab could not have done worse. When Elijah appeared before Ahab, the king asked God's prophet, "Is it you, you troubler in Israel?" 1 Kings 18:17. Can you imagine why a ruler of God's people would use such a reasoning? Elijah was God's prophet. He neither belonged to the Israelites nor to King Ahab. Elijah was ordained of God to help the king and the people of Israel to live righteously before God. And yet Ahab had the audacity to call God's prophet a troubler of Israel. Elijah did not pull any punches when he said to Ahab, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals." 1 Kings 18:18. Over the next several months, our newly elected president will have pressure from millions of Americans who are grieving over his killing babies and approving homosexuals' entry into the United States military services. He may even attempt to silence various groups for criticizing his administration. He would like to invoke the powers of the federal government to enforce what he thinks is an absolute separation between the church and the state. There will probably be lawsuits over what place preachers and other religious leaders may occupy in this land of the free and of the brave. But we are going to speak out against all evils in our government, regardless of the government's attempt to quell the tide of religious opposition to President Clinton's diabolical and destructive actions. There is no doubt Bill Clinton looks on people like us, those who oppose abortions and entrance of homosexuals into the military, as troublemakers. Like Ahab, he would take whatever steps are necessary to stop our voices. But he is not going to succeed. We know how immoral and inexcusable it is to kill babies, and to act as if homosexuality were as normal and godly as heterosexuality. Bill Clinton may not know, although in my considered opinion he does, but he will know, if not in this life, then in the life to come. His wicked behavior may have the devastating effects on the United States that Ahab's behavior did on ancient Israel. Please remember the divine writer's evaluation of Ahab. He did more to provoke the Lord to anger than all the kings who were before him. 1 Kings 18:33. How can Bill Clinton imagine he is living in harmony with God, whom he professes to honor and to worship? After the meeting between Ahab and Elijah, the king sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer a word. 1 Kings 18:20 and 21. Can you see any similarity between conditions described in the preceding verses and those which prevail in our own country? Are not millions of Americans limping between two different opinions? There are many Americans who believe in and support the killing of babies, giving full civil rights to homosexuals, and doing other acts contrary to God's will. There are millions of others who know the evil of abortion and homosexuality, and who are willing to stand up and say, "Enough killing, and enough perverted behavior. We cannot support such evil, and intend to work with all of our might to stop these practices." My friends, I am asking you to get on your knees tonight and ask God to help our nation come to its collective senses. God is still in heaven. He still has an intense interest in what happens to His creatures. If we pray hard enough and work hard enough, we can make a difference. Paul wrote to Timothy, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." 2 Timothy 2:1-2. Have you experienced any trouble praying for the new American administration? When our government approves the killing of millions of babies and of admitting homosexuals into our military services, do you still want to pray for our government? But remember the government which was in power at the time of Paul's writing. It was the immoral Roman Empire, with rulers like Nero and Caligula and Domitian. These men despised Christianity and sought with all their power to crush this upstart religion. If Paul could pray for such rulers and encourage other Christians to do the same, surely we cannot refuse to pray for the American president, although our government has killed more people in the abortion Holocaust than the Roman Empire killed in a comparable number of years. So I plead with you to place the name of Bill Clinton before our Heavenly Father every day of the time that he is in Washington. Maybe our Father will overrule the evils Bill Clinton has already done and intends to do. 1 Kings 18 tells of a contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal failed to call down fire from heaven to devour the sacrifice they had attempted to offer to their idol. Elijah commanded the Jewish people to seize the prophets of Baal and not to allow one to escape. The people seized all the prophets, took them down to the brook Kishon, and killed all of them. 1 Kings 18:40. You can't imagine how angry Jezebel was when she heard that her prophets were dead. She sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of these prophets by this time tomorrow." 1 Kings 19:1-2. Fortunately, Jezebel's threat was never carried out. Oh, she tried to kill Elijah, but the Lord would not allow such an abominable creature to kill his prophet. God protected Elijah from this wicked woman and from his other enemies. My friends, there is no doubt about Ahab's weaknesses, about his greed, and about many other evils of his reign in Israel. The Bible speaks too explicitly about these matters. But neither is there any doubt about Jezebel's detrimental influence on her weak-kneed, jellyfish-backboned husband. Ahab almost certainly would not have been a good king had he married the most talented and godly woman in Israel. But when he teamed up with a woman of Jezebel's determination and wickedness, his reign was a catastrophe. A catastrophe not just for the two of them, but for the whole nation of Israel. Presidents' wives, like most other men's wives, unquestionably have an influence on them, either for weal or for woe. Rosalind Carter was and is a feminist and wielded great power in the Carter administration. Jimmy Carter's enthusiastic support for the Equal Rights Amendment was motivated to a great extent by the influence of his wife. Jimmy Carter was weak in many ways, but Rosalind was not. She carried a mighty stick in the government. Her part in the Carter administration was almost certainly more detrimental than his. I do not say this with any malice, but there is hardly any doubt about it. Even his closest friends will generally agree with this assessment of the Carter years. Nancy Reagan's commitment to astrology may have made an impact on the Reagan presidency. Donald Reagan, a prominent official in the Reagan White House, claimed that many of the president's appointments and decisions were determined by the position of the heavenly bodies at that time. Of course, Donald Reagan may have just been angry when he accused the First Lady of believing in astrology. After all, when he wrote his book, he had been fired by President Reagan. The news media left the impression that Reagan was fired because he and Nancy Reagan were constantly doing battle. I do not know all the circumstances, but I am convinced Nancy Reagan had some influence, perhaps negative, on President Ronald Reagan. It was rumored in the press that Barbara Bush supported abortion, at least in some cases. What her influence was on George Bush, we can only speculate. Her influence in the country was probably quite good, although there were some criticisms from feminists who thought she was too family-centered. She seemed to put a higher priority on her husband's career than on her own. She angered some feminists when she asked them, "When you get to the end of your life, are you going to regret not having won another case in court or made a sale? Or are you going to be concerned that you have not spent enough time with your husband and your children?" The family values Barbara Bush promoted are not very popular with the new administration, but I hope they are with the American people. What will be the impact of Hillary Clinton's radical views? She unquestionably is a radical feminist who believes women cannot be truly fulfilled, cannot make maximum contributions to society unless they are lawyers, school teachers, truck drivers, doctors, or such professionals. She has come very close to making light of the work mothers do. She angered a great number of housewives when she criticized housewives for staying home and baking cookies for their children. Her remarks were insulting and degrading to those women who choose to be genuine homemakers. Will she lead the Clinton administration in the wrong direction when it comes to supporting and strengthening families? She and the president both have probably been influenced by Jim Guy Tucker, the current governor of the state of Arkansas. Tucker is a radical feminist. Hillary Clinton has been awarded special honors for helping America's children. The honor is ludicrous. She not only is a radical feminist, she is also a children's liberationist. She tends to agree with Sweden's child care system. Children in Sweden can sue their parents for divorce. If a parent spanks a child or speaks harshly to a child, the child can ask the courts to place it with another family. My friends, is that the kind of child care system we want in the United States? Will Hillary promote the Swedish system? She does not hold the same views on children which most people in the United States embrace. I hope and pray that Congress will not listen to Hillary Clinton's un-American and unreasonable and unchristian views about children. Let me speak of one other matter before our time expires today. What are your views on the integration of homosexuals into the military? Bill Clinton vowed to remove all restrictions on homosexuals in the military by a simple stroke of the pen. As you know, if you have been reading the papers or watching television, it did not work out exactly as he had planned. But it will, unless every American expresses his displeasure toward such an outlandish proposal. What, dear friends, are you doing about the president's promise? Will you please call your senator today and tell him how unhappy you are about homosexuals in the Army and in the other branches of the military? You and I can make a difference if we will express our convictions on this matter and on other moral and political questions. My students at Fried Hardeman University are shocked at the Clinton administration's immoral start. They cannot believe our nation has made such drastic changes in the past few months. They are writing and calling in attempting to prevent further erosion of America's moral values. When so many of our citizens have such strong convictions on moral issues, it is time for the federal government and for the state governments to sit up and to listen to them. They will remember when the next election comes around. At least, I hope they will, and I honestly believe many of them will. My friends, when Elijah and other Old Testament prophets saw the direction Israel was often heading, they spoke out in no uncertain terms. Elijah warned Ahab and Jezebel of the dangers they faced in their rebellion against the God of Israel. After the death of Naboth, which Jezebel had arranged, Elijah said to her, "The dog shall eat Jezebel within the bounds of Jezreel. Anyone belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dog shall eat. And anyone of his who dies in the open country, the birds of the air shall eat. There was none who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord God like Ahab, whom Jezebel, his wife, incited. He did very abominably in going after the idols, as the Amorites had done, whom the Lord cast out before the people of Israel." 1 Kings 21:19. As you know from reading the Old Testament, both Ahab and Jezebel died in infamy and shame. The dogs actually licked up the blood of this wicked queen, and Ahab was killed in battle. The end came to this ungodly couple, but their behavior continued to hurt the people of God for generations to come. Men and women like Ahab and Jezebel finally brought Israel to its knees. The nation disappeared from the very face of the earth when the Assyrian army took the nation captive. Ahab and Jezebel were not the only evil team which reigned in northern Israel, but they were co-conspirators in a plot to defeat the purposes of God Almighty. I have one further request of you today. Pray, pray, pray for our governmental leaders, and not just the ones in Washington. Pray for all Americans that we shall be led to be better citizens and better children of God. Please remember the words of 1 Kings. Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all the kings that were before him. But besides all the evil he committed, he also married Jezebel, 1 Kings 16:30 and 31. Ahab and Jezebel almost destroyed Israel. America, beware. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.